Yes, you are, Lord. That's what you are to us, Lord. Oh, isn't wonderful. You're wonderful, isn't he? You're the Counselor, mighty God, isn't he, Lord, you are, Lord, you are so wonderful, Lord, you are great and marvelous. So wonderful. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you truly, truly are the mighty God, the counselor, our mighty God, Lord, our Prince of Peace, Lord, and your presence is here this evening, Lord. You're here, Lord. You're here present, ever present, Lord, very near, Lord. To meet our need, Lord, to be that mighty counselor. We need your counsel, Lord. We need you mighty. And you are ready to show yourselves mighty, Lord. The only thing that can hold us back is our unbelief, Father. Take it away, Lord. Take it away in Jesus' name. Take away everything, Lord, that would even, we don't even know, Lord, that would hinder us, Father, from you being mighty, Lord. Please, Father, counsel us, Lord. Give us your peace, O God, tonight. May we not leave without knowing you as counselor, knowing you as Prince of Peace in this moment, Lord, on this day, Lord. For our very every need, Lord, as Jehovah Jireh, as Jehovah Rapha, as Jehovah Nisi, Lord, all every name that you are, Lord, that we need, Father, please impart to us, Father. Get us out of the way, Lord. Empty us out, Lord. May we, Lord, rip away that flesh, oh God, that veil, Lord, that is so besetting us, Lord, and help us to come into your presence, your Shekinah glory tonight, Lord. Lord, bring your glory down, Father, not like the modern church would say, Lord, but your very near author's presence, Lord, to break open what your voice has already said, Lord, and quicken it to our hearts, Lord, where it's been laying dormant so many times, oh God, we're puzzled over it, Lord. Your presence, Lord, can make it bud. Your presence can give it such life, Father. That's what we need tonight, Lord. We need to bud in your presence, Lord, to have that sweet almond fragrance, Father. Lord, to leave here, Lord, where people can smell your fragrance of being in your glory and your presence tonight, Lord, hidden from the notifications of the world, Lord, instead getting notified by you, Lord, what and who we are, Lord, and who you are. Take us tonight, we pray now. We'll bless and praise you and give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Praise be the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you so much. Thank you, worshipers, congregants, family. Appreciate each one of you so much. I love each one of you so much. Oh, he's more than wonderful. That's our King. That's our God. Yeah, there's no one like him. Who is like unto our God? There's no one. Praise God. Send greetings from my family. Thank you for your continued prayers. I know Brother Greg said their family is going through it too, so we're praying for you as well. Just lots and lots of congestion and coughing in the night. And thankfully, Bethany and I have just been good, so I'm not going to cough at you tonight. So just... thank the Lord for that, and we just been missing church so much. Just been out, not feeling, getting the kids better, and then also just been we went to the Black Hills a couple of weeks back, so we're finally back from that too, and that was first time ever doing that, and so that was wonderful just to see God's creation in that terrain. Just so excited that we had the internet breakdown on Sunday when we were streaming, because then we went over to we just prayed, and just both Beth and I, independently of each other, just felt like, why don't we check out the meetings down at the youth camp? And so we were able to catch an hour of the service, and that was just wonderful. Wasn't it wonderful? It was, and of course the kids were like, there's Seth, there's Noah, there's Uncle Nate. So they were excited, and Levi's like, that's the best sermon. And so it was just really exciting to get them, getting them excited as well. So that was good. You know, I just want to comment tonight. Don't you just love what the Lord's doing with just the sermons he's been giving us? It's amazing, because we're going in and he's saying, this is what I got for you, for the Don. Jesse, I got something for you too. I remember just preaching on something, and of course, I'm sure all ministers agree, because it's just true. It's the Lord, is that someone else preaches and you're like, oh, that's exactly what I've been preaching. And it's because you're seeing that too as well. But you can see that it's all dovetailing, because it's all the Lord. It's all his dove. And even when Brother Jason Watkins was here, it was like, just, I love how the Lord vindicates it, because it's not me then. And I say, oh, well, then he didn't know. So when he preaches on something that I preach on, okay, it wasn't me. Praise God for that. And just love that narrative that the Lord's just giving us this perspective, Josh, of his story. We are in his story. We're not in the world's story. That's not our story. And we're hidden away from that story. And it's amazing, because I'll follow someone online, because I'm just like, oh, this is cool, techie. And then I'm getting notifications from everything in their story and their scope of things. And I'm like, that's not important. But again, it'll be like, oh, but that's kind of relevant. And it tries to suck us in, right? And pull us away from behind the veil. And so I just love Brother Jesse. It's just so wonderful. Hidden Life in Christ, wasn't that good? Just to hear this, just, you know, in that series, I can't talk enough about that series. Just go on your phone in the message app and just type in 1955. Oh, yeah. And just look at all the times he preached in Chicago. And it's like 1822 times. Yeah. And it was the power of decision, the power of God, the power of Satan, the power of transformation. And then he the coup de grace, the hidden life in Christ. So it's like realizing what power we have, which is decision, what power Satan has, all he can do is kill us, the power of God, which is the power to transform us, and his life, everything that he is, his word, and then now hide away in it. Amen. You've been empowered to hide away in it. And that's really what I want to speak on tonight. This is Wednesday night. We're gonna focus. Including me. When I say we, I mean me. And it's my job to keep you focused, and it's your job to keep me focused. And it's God's job to keep us doing that. So we're so thankful. So again, we want to talk about hiding away in Christ, hiding behind the veil. This is what we're talking about. Yeah. Now, I'm going to branch over into growing in Christ. Because what happens behind the veil? That's right, Aaron's bud. So there's growth. Now, you're going to hear growth, and you're going to say, weren't we talking about hiding in Christ? But yes, and exactly, and that's the fruits. Fruits happen when we're hiding in Christ, when we're in there. And so I just love that as a minister, just coming before the Lord and just saying, Lord, I can't do it. Help me. And he starts giving me puzzle pieces, and I'm like, okay, what's that? Josh, I can see your face. You're like, totally understand. And you're like, what's this? Okay, what is that? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's what it's about. Finally, praise God. And please forgive me if I've ever come up here with puzzle pieces that somehow he gave me, but, and I had it here, I'll put together. but somehow I didn't give you the whole picture. You forgive me for that. And you can just kind of give me a little, just some kind of signal if you say, can you just say that one more time? I know Derek won't mind doing that, although he's held back many times. But so just wanted to make sure I didn't get ahead of myself on these things. You know, the Lord woke me up early this morning. I'm so glad. It was 1:45 a.m., and I was just wide awake, and I'm like, I must be ready for work. It must be time. And it wasn't. It was time to pray, and you, each of you just came on my heart, and I just want to let you know that it was so good because I was just praying for each one of you by name, and I was just searching in my memory of everyone that's in church and their families and their extended families, and it just... It's amazing how when we pray for each other, I don't just talk at a group of people. I'm talking to my family. I'm talking to those that I want to invest in. And I want to, I feel so knitted into Christ's heart for each one of you, that you are what he's all about. Like we've heard so many times, what is this all about? What is this? This is about you. This is for you. It's just his love for you. This isn't a, you better do these rules and, you know, you're going to have to shape up and we're going to, or else you'll never, we're just going to have to shake a finger at you and that's it. No, this is the wonderful love story that God has for you to bring you into all of that, even though those things can be a part of it. Praise God. Let's, if we could just stand in honor of the word, we're just going to go to one of the most profound scriptures in the Bible, and that's Psalms 23. Aren't you glad he's leading us? Uh-huh. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. I especially just add on my heart too with the youth coming back from camp. I remember Seth coming back from camp and I'm like, that's it. I only want to read my Bible and that's it. I just want time with the Lord. And you just think, I'm just faced with a difference of reality. And I just am so full of the presence of the Lord being hidden away at camp. I don't want to lose that. How do I not lose that? How do I keep going on this? Not the high of it, not just the emotions, but the I want the meat and potatoes all the time. I want that keeping power. I don't want to just go back. What does it look like? That's what we're going to talk about tonight too. Psalms 23. And we're going to go to verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, please break open this word to us tonight. Amen. Take us, Lord. Prepare a table before us, oh God, a feast, Lord. We thank you that we're thirsty and hungry, for we shall be filled. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Now we know that we have the parable of the seed and the sower in Mark chapter 4. And the seed was sown. And remember where it was sown? It was sown on the highway, which in scripture it says the byway, but it was the highway. So it wasn't a place for seed to grow. It was sown on among thorns, which choked the word. And then the highway, it was eaten up, snatched away. And I felt like so many times that I would get the word of God and I just it just fell on the highway of my heart. It didn't fell into good ground in my heart. And I wasn't prepared to receive. I would get it and it'd be like, oh, that's wonderful. I can hear it landing. I can feel it. There's something good in here. But then it would just get snatched away because I would go right back to the old stuff, right back to the the comforts that are like, oh yeah, after church is over, you know, I sometimes even have it happen. I had it happen today. A temptation is like, as soon as you get done preaching, you should do this, listen to this thing on the way home, and listen. And I'm like, Stephen, wow, is that okay? That's got to be the devil. That's the old Stephen that just coming in. Self is just trying to take again that veil is trying to say, come back out, get back out of there. And so again, why? Because it wants to choke the word as soon as we hit the door, right? He doesn't care if we hear the word. He just cares if we let the word come to life and start to bud and start to grow. So this is so important for us, for young people. What does it mean to grow in the word, to get in the word? We open our Bibles and we read the Bible and we're like, okay, is that it? Is that what I do? This is me at 20 years old even. Okay, I did it. Okay, am I closer to God? Where's this greater place of growth? And you know, Aaron's rod budded, but the other ones were in the presence of the Lord and they didn't bud. But what does it mean to grow? And Brother Branham talks about it in A Veiling of God, which I highly recommend. Young people, take the sermon, The Unveiling of God, with a pencil and paper, and not just your head knowledge, but in prayer, and pause that thing 8,000 times and just go line by line. If you're visual, read it along with listening to it, right? Oh, yeah. And because there's so many little parts in it that is just mind-blowing. And you can tell he knows that it is, because he'll say, now I'm going to say something. And he's like, did you get it? And he's talking about something that's something that's so important, because we have to get behind the veil. We have to get out of this body thinking and out of the world. We have to. And so he says, for instance, now breaking into the veil, through the veil, into his presence, where the word is, not the creed, the word. In there, seeing the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah, the power, the Holy Spirit, shining upon the word. It's not just the word anymore. Peter, it's shining on the word. Ray, it's shining on the word. It's not just, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Oh, praise God. That feels good. I'm going to go to work. I remember when I saw that for the first time, and there's still parts that I don't understand, I'm sure. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We can be in people around us at work, or the sisters at home that are working hard, and all the enemies, what? Distractions, everything around us that's pulling us out of that, from behind that veil. And he's saying, I have a feast for you. And we're in that place feasting. And you could say, how in the world are we feasting? We don't have a monastery at our house. We don't have this place of seclusion where we can just go and there's essential oils. And well, there's still essential oils, but there's this place of just, it's just, I'm going to go in that quiet place, and it's a deprivation, noise deprivation chamber. And everybody knows, but like we know about Susanna Wesley, she'd put the apron over her head. That was, now she's in her hiding place with the Lord. Is that, I remember one time, I remember being mad at Brother Don one time. So I'm like, just once, no. And I remember I was over on a Sunday night, and this is me, boys and youth that went to camp or didn't, is that it's trying to figure out, how do I get in this? I have the word. I have his presence. I need that to happen for me to grow. Word, presence, hiding behind the veil. And I remember saying to Brother Don, I would just love it. It's like, you think about how much money people spend, I say to him, on entertainment centers. And like, wouldn't it be cool to like make a little room, like maybe put cedar in it, and just have this place where you can just go
and you can shut yourself in, and you just have this, like, it just helps you in the physical get yourself into the spiritual. And he's like, and he's immediately said, like, with my open heart and full of ideas, just, and yeah, and then we'll cut our hair to look like a monk, and then we'll just be separated from the world. And I'm like, that's not fair. That's not what. I'm like, but isn't it better to have that and have the presence and have the word than to just have the entertainment centers? And I fought back and forth that in my heart for so long, Brother Don, until I had moments like when I was trying to prepare for a sermon and I couldn't get anywhere. And then I'm driving around at 10 miles an hour on electric pallet jack. And he's like, this is what I want you to preach on. And that was the table. That was the feast. He was preparing in the presence of my enemies, working hard and having everything against me and saying, boom, there you are. You're in the Shekinah glory. You're feasting right now in the middle of work. And that's what it looks like. I didn't have to have a cedar-lined closet with essential oils to get that. David Wilkerson says, I went to Israel, and he says, I was just so excited because I knew I was going to have these amazing experiences with God. I was going to go to the tomb, and he was going to reveal some secret of the word to me. And I was going to go over to the cross, and I was going to understand something about the blood. And he says, at every spot, I was just, I'm waiting. I'm here. I'm at the very place where he died. And he says, nothing happened. No, it didn't happen at all. Why? Because he's wanting to have this, I have the word, I have the place, therefore I should have some greater understanding from the Lord. His presence is in the place, right? Physically. And the Lord wouldn't allow that because of like what we're hearing in church is he doesn't want our five senses involved. He wants it to be with eyes of faith and with in the that secret place of the heart. And so he said, of course, he says, as soon as I got back, the Lord revealed something to me when I got back home. And that's what I'm telling you, young people, because we're all young people, because we're all 18 in eternity. We're not looking in this perspective because we're already hidden behind the veil, right, everybody? All right. So we can have this new conception that is correct, is that feast that he's talking about, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, is in a spiritual happening, a spiritual place where his presence is in the middle of the dark chaos that is around us, but not we're not of, we're only in, right? Does that make sense? Is that all the puzzle pieces of that part? Okay, I'm getting some nods. That's good. Lots of nods. Praise God. Praise God. We have to water that seed. How do we grow? He says the blood came from him, which is the water of the washing of the word. We've been hearing this for weeks, but let's just put on a new mindset. If we're still struggling to understand it, which I am, which the water brings life to the seed. The water brings life to the seed. We have that seed and the word. And it brought forth the Shekinah glory, shined upon the word, which brought forth the shewbread. And the shewbread was just for the chosen people. Are you the chosen people tonight? Amen. That's for us. Praise God. So we need to dive into that word and not come up for air, and to make sure that the reason why we're not coming up for air is because we're breathing the presence of God. Though that dry stick of Aaron's rod was having a miracle, and we're having a miracle when we're in the presence of God. When Ray is cleaning houses, Anna, and each one of us doing what we're doing is we're in that place of rest behind the veil. Now, what quiz. What is the veil? What does it mean? Derek. You're supposed to quiz that multiple. Okay. The veil is a physical cloth. The veil is... Somebody help me. Badger skins. The veil is this body. This veil is the world. Which, what do you, young people, what do you think? Badger skins? This is a trick thing because a lot of these are actually right. Is that, what?
All of the above.
Is that getting behind the veil means the veil, we have to say the veil is our bodies. The veil is the world. So you'd say, well, what do you mean? So then when we hear Brother Brown say, shut out from the things of the world, or when he's saying is that he's saying, well, the scripture says about in Ephesians 4, leaving our former conversation, leaving our old life, all these things are getting away from the old Stephen. Derek?
The place of separation.
The place of separation. So it's a very simple thing. Thank you for helping me keep the puzzle pieces together into a picture. Is that we have, it's simple. It's very simple. It's this place of separating from the old, everything of the old body, the old self, and into this new place in Him, beyond all of that. And Derek can, yes, and it is a place where God dwells. It's in His presence. And so now we don't go, now, I remember the first time I was working at that yarn company, and the first time I had a chain reaction in the scripture happen where I'm like, oh, what? Then this means that. Then this means that. This is amazing. And I'd never experienced it before. And here I was 25, 26, I think, where there was the first time where a scripture, I read it and I saw it for the first time. So this is, I'm going to give you examples of being in the presence of God and God opening up the scripture to you. And I don't want to give too much because this is the part where it becomes, oh, I got to do it like Brother Stephen. And then also so many times the Lord said, stop oversharing, Stephen, you're spilling the beans. So we have this place where the word is alive. The word is all circulating.
Yeah.
So when you, it's like the game. You ever heard the game where you say a word, Peter, and I say a word, and we keep linking it. We do that with the scripture too. By the Spirit of God is that we say, oh, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, there's a feast there. Oh, there's another scripture that talks about that same exact thing. It's not that I need to look at the chain reference. Okay, yeah, I need to go to Psalms 35. Okay. It's, aha, that's it. And now we see, oh, that's the same thing. And now it starts all make sense. Yeah. Why? Because now we're in the presence of the author. We're in that place with the author. So now the author is going to be like, hey, can I show you what I did over here? And you're like, what? I've already read that, but I didn't know that. How about over here? Oh, that's great too. Wow. And that's when, remember, after the disciples had been said, wait to be endued with power from on high, they came out of the upper room with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And then now they were arrested and brought out of the temple. And they started expounding. It says, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. And they started having conversations because they had known Peter before. They had seen Peter before. And they said, and they knew that they had been with Jesus. But he was dead. He was in the tomb, right? No, he was alive and they had been with him. I mean, you think about that, the compound meeting, it's like, no, that's not what they meant. It's like, well, why did he record it? Is they knew, because they knew he wasn't dead. Can we say that? They were trying to cover it up. And so they'd say, oh my goodness, the disciples have been with him. Oh, great, we tried to stop this, but now they've been with him, and now they have the same thing, and now we got to try to get rid of this too. And no, there's more of them, yeah. Right? Excellent. So you could say, well, but that was just because they had Jesus in their hearts and that now like they're just starting to look like Jesus a little bit. But an unveiling of God, he talks about this. Praise God. It's hard to read only a couple quotes. Praise God. The veil is dropped. That's one of my favorite lines in the whole sermon. They don't even hear it. They're in there. They're coming to life. Do you hear that, everybody? When the veil is dropped behind us now and we're in his presence, we don't even hear those distractions outside because we're so aware of him. Yielding buds. Talk to them a little while. You'll see that there's an odor of saint about them. Their conversations is seasoned with salt. Not talking about their neighbor or trying to fuss about something has been done this way or that way, but their conversations is of Christ in his glory. And that's where they are living here, yielding freshness, yielding the odors of the new life with a blossom and bring forth fruit every day. Every day. My. There is one quote that I'm trying to find where Brother Bram says, because you're in that, you're behind the veil, and God was veiled through each of these prophets, and now you are God veiled and unveiled. And he says, and you are the Word. Amen. Yes. Right. Can we say, I am the Word? You can't say that. How dare you say that? God is the only one who is the Word. How can we? But then we're part of him. Amen. It's actually, they knew he had been with Jesus. The influence was so strong that it was, we are the Word. It is written of Ray. It is written of Sophie. It is written of me, each one of us. It's not written to just to me. It's written, Timothy, of you. It's about us. In the West, there's a couple times where it talks about a permanent home. And sometimes when I come back from camp, I felt like, oh, praise God, he's there permanently. This is great. And then I would stumble and fall and stumble and fall and stumble and fall over and over again. And I'm like, oh, I need to get back to camp. And it was just like you just get faced so much with reality that you need to go through the process of letting, of having that separation of saying, I need to get rid of old Stephen. I'm so sick of him. I have a screenshot of a scripture here in the West, if I can find it. Here we go. Matthew 12:45. And we know that there's this story where this man went to camp and he got all the spirits, or he got a spirit cast out from him. And then he came back home and he's like, praise God, I'm going to serve the Lord. But he was empty. There was no one in permanent residence in his house. His house was swept clean. But then he went and wandered. Right? He wandered. Well, I don't know. This is good. Distractions, right? That's the age. Has anyone ever wandered on their phone? Me, both hands. Right? And Satan's like, yes. Because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and our steps are ordered of the Lord. But he wants us to be a wandering spirit, just out there, la-di-da. And yet, what happens to this man? Then he proceeds and takes with him seven other spirits more pernicious than himself. And having entered, he makes his permanent home there. And the last circumstance of that man was worse than the first ones. It was worse than before he went to camp. Thus shall it be also with respect to this breed of men, this pernicious breed. Praise God, that's not the end of it. Again, who's going to make, we have two spirits, Satan or the Holy Spirit. Who's going to make their permanent home? So let's jump to the next one. I'm going to read it in the regular. So because it's wordy. The next verses of that same part. I should probably take you guys with me. James chapter 4. And I believe this is the right scripture. So do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? This is in the West, so just put your hats on. Or do you think the scripture says in an empty manner and to no purpose, the Holy Spirit, who has been caused to make his permanent home in us, has a passionate desire to control us to the point of envy? Or of any control indwelling sin that it may have. To the point of envy of any controlling indwelling sin may have over us. Moreover, he, the Holy Spirit, giveth greater grace. So we can see that it's the Holy Spirit in us makes his permanent home in us. But not towards the things of sin that have control in us, but it's that he gives the greater grace. And for this reason, he, the Holy Spirit, says, excuse me, let me just go into the regular.
Are you at 5 and 6?
5 and 6, yeah. But he giveth more grace. Wherever he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives the grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we see that there's, and I'm sorry, I'm probably giving more puzzle pieces than I am pictures on this. This wasn't exactly the one I was looking for, so I'm going to just going to say that up front, is that he's referring to that God, by the Holy Spirit, makes his permanent home in us.
Amen?
Amen? He has a permanent residence in us.
Yeah.
You say, well, thank you, Stephen. I knew that. But, Derek. Yes, thank you. It's the strong man of the house. It's someone knocks on the door, bum, 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 bum. Who is it? It's me. I'm coming in to take over. Nuh-uh. This is my house. I own this house. And so we see this is that, that's why I love this, the song. We got to teach it to the church, Nate. This is your house, Father, come and dwell. A holy house of praise, a holy house of prayer, is to say that, again, this is, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's sometimes the best answer to temptation is my body is is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes just holy, holy, holy is the Lord. When Satan tries to come, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. This is a temple of the Lord. This is a sacred place. I just keep popping up in my Bible feed, 1 Kings chapter 7, where Solomon's building the temple. And Josh, imagine being on, getting the bid on that, building Solomon's temple, the porch, all the cedar, the brass work, the lavers, even the copper bath, everything, but for the temple of the Lord, what preparation it was. I think just even hearing Derek talk about the temple is when we say my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, we only see as much as we know of the temple. But when you see that this is a set apart side, we have the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holies, and that we have this place, my body, in my body dwells the holiest of holies. My. To think that. And his glory filled the temple. I'm the temple, you're the temple. His glory fills the temples. Praise God. This isn't just enthusiasm, saints. This is literally what's going on in our hearts. Is his glory is filling the temple, Brother Ron. Praise God. Now we're going to go into the growing part. Growing by believing, by not paying attention to the world and all the distractions. You don't have to be in the know. I was thinking about this just this week. Imagine if David was out with the sheep after he'd been anointed and he's about to go see his brothers and bring him cheese, and he's going to hear Goliath defy the armies of the living God. And imagine he'd gotten notifications from his brothers. Oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe this guy out here. Look at this video. Oh my goodness. And all his phone is blowing up from all these people. Like, it's crazy. Look at this. Look at what he did. Like 3 years ago to this guy, look at this fight he did. And you're like, oh man, that's true. Wow. Wow. He would have got there and be like, oh my goodness, I got to check this guy out. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And it might have taken maybe him 2 or 3 weeks, right, of seeing that. But because he is slowly programmed to have a feed, to be following something of to be in the know on news and take the narrative of all of Israel. I was thinking about this, is that, praise God, here he was anointed. He was out with his sheep, exactly in the place God had him, tucked away from all that that pandemonium and mass hysteria, if you want to call it that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever studied mass hysteria, how people, whole girls' college, they would go into mass hysteria because of one or two people would start it, and they would all, it would be a sickness. Everyone would get sick, and they would document it when it would happen. Everyone, it wasn't just germs. It was mass hysteria. Everybody bought the narrative. And so it's really interesting whose report will we believe? And so David gets there knowing nothing, right? Praise God. He didn't have the feed from Facebook and X and all these different things. And like, oh yeah, this is what my brother thinks. Like, I look up to him. I better like that. I better repost that to my dad because he's sending me there. Does he know that there's that guy? Maybe he doesn't even want me to go yet. Maybe he needs me to bring more food because they're going to be there for a lot longer. No, he didn't have that fake reality check. And so he gets there and he's like, what in the world is, how do we let this guy defy the armies of the living God? And then everybody's like, oh, and he's like, I will go. All of them were desensitized to the narrative and everybody's just, we can't do anything. Look at him. So us to know that Satan knows that and is putting us in all these narratives of modern day. Again, what are we talking about? We're going behind the veil so that when we see things that happen, we're like, well, it doesn't matter because I've been in the Word and with the Lord, and this is what we're supposed to do. We're going to go forward. We're not gonna stand for this. Now all of a sudden we're getting something in the mail saying you can no longer buy or sell unless you take this, and it's like, okay, shred that. All right, we're just gonna trust the Lord, and by faith he's gonna take care of us. Is again not believing that report, hiding away in Christ. And you'd say, that's irresponsible, Stephen. Just like we say about the children of Israel in the wilderness, 3 days in the wilderness, you brought us out here to die. And yet, we could say that same thing in this day if all of a sudden it's like, oh, sorry, Peter, 401k is gone. You can't buy or sell. It's just diddly. Like, and we're like, oh, man, that's a reality check. Let's see now. What does this mean? And yet, when we are already in with the Lord, we can say, it is the Lord. We're almost getting out here. Again, I love in the West, when these things begin to happen, be elated. Oh, good, my 401k is gone. Well, now I know I did everything I could, but it's gone. Right? We can say, well, that's easy for you to say, Stephen, your 401k isn't gone. But what is it? Is, again, those things we're supposed to do, having done all, and yet our narrative is this. We're hidden away in Christ. We're in his presence. That's where our peace is. That's where our joy is. That's where our comfort is. I'm going to read one more quote, at least. Okay. Growing in Christ, behind the veil. Isn't this food to your soul? Congregation says amen. Amen. And every time we believe, that little speck in there begins to get bigger, 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 swell out till after a while, it just becomes you believe all things. So this is, again, young people, where you take the unveiling of God, and you pause this. Every time we believe, every time, not every time we understand, every time we believe, that little speck in there just gets bigger, 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 until you believe all things. And as all things begin to come in, my, I never thought of that before. Is that when we believe all things from him, they come in because we've accepted them. And so it's just saying, knock, knock, knock. I'm from the Lord. Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm Psalms 23, verse 5. I believe that. Come on in. Set up a feast. And all of a sudden, all those things begin to come in. And it says, love begin. It comes in. Doubt, hatred, mallet, fear just flies out. My, like that. It just spreads out. It just gets so big till it just bursts out of that little old shell. So you can't take that little old shell of old Stephen that came back from camp and be like, now, Stephen, we're going to fill that little shell with God and it's going to be great for the rest of your life. It's going to be this transformation of all these things fly out as we believe. Now it's going to burst forth out of that shell. It's going to spread out. See what I mean? All the world is purged. We grow daily in the grace of God. Now you notice these people, they can sit and say, well, I accept the Lord. You take their word for it. I would too. I can't judge. God does. But in 10 years from now, they've never progressed a bit. Whoa. And I say, Lord, not how many people can I think of that I know are like that? No, it's Lord, have I progressed a bit? It's been, if I look back 10 years ago, have I gotten farther than that? Lord, am I growing? Am I in your presence? Did I bloom one almond, Brother Don? And now I'm like, yay, I got my almond. Or am I saying, Lord, I need to bear fruit every day? Is this all right? Everybody good? Okay. So we're looking for growth as a sign that we're in his presence. They just say the same old place. See, we grow daily. Each day our heart hungers, keeps moving on. There's something growing inside of you. Amen. You get bigger, spread out, can take more. Paul said when you told the Corinthians church, you're maturing, growing. But when you ought to be teachers, you're still babes needing teaching. When you ought to be teachers, something in there growing out, pushing out, making bigger, the Holy Spirit growing. The new birth. If a birth is born from the outside, from the inside out, the child, it grows if it lives. If it doesn't, it remains. Well, when a birth is on the inside, shouldn't it grow? Christ in your heart ought to be growing daily, getting bigger, more powerful, understanding things better. You know, sometimes I just need to stop being so lazy. And I remember I was in my mid-20s when I just started wanting to know what the Holy Ghost was. I was in my mid-20s. I didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. And just saying, Lord, show me what the Holy Ghost even is. What is it even for? I don't even know what it's for. And some of these things we hear in church, we're like, well, yeah, Brother Stephen, tell me what it's for. It's some of these things I could tell you, and it would just go right over your head. And you'd say, well, don't just tell me, what is it for? And I could say, well, it's to lead you and guide you into all truth. And you'd say, oh, yeah, I've heard that. Okay, but what is it for? And so again, being in his presence, saying, Lord, what does this mean? Open up, what does it mean to be led and guided into all truth? As we grow daily, getting bigger, more powerful, understanding things better, forgiving. Why do you think he talked about forgiving? This could be a whole sermon on itself, but I think about that. So many times, Satan tries to get in with unforgiveness in my heart because he knows it'll stop the digestion of the word in my heart. And sometimes I even say, yes, Lord, I forgive because you forgave me. I forgive. And I'm like, that guy's a jerk. I felt that way in my heart. I'm like, Lord, I love him. I forgive him and everything. And yet something is holding something against this person. And I'm like, Lord, please come in and kick that thing out of me because I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to let it go. I'm obeying the word. I believe you. I'm forgiving. And yet it's not leaving. Lord, take away that root of bitterness. If it's a root, You ever try to pull a rut? Sometimes the ones that enter in the sidewalk, and you're like, I can't dig around in there. And you're like, Lord, I need a sledgehammer to break this sidewalk so I can get all the way down to the bottom of the root so it doesn't grow back. So we have to say, Lord, take it away. Root that bitterness out of my heart. Because we know that that will stop. Brother Bram said, lamb and the dove, is bitterness cannot digest the word. Ooh. If we have any unforgiveness in our hearts, we can't grow. We have to have forgiveness. We can't understand the word better. But you could say, well, okay, I'll learn to forgive. But it's again saying, Lord, let me come into your presence where I remember the first time ever when I came in, I just kneeling in my room, and the presence of the Lord came down strong, so strong, I couldn't even lift my head off the floor. And immediately the Lord presented, what about the sins of all of your brothers and sisters? What do you think of that? And I said, I have no care to think about anybody else. There's no, like, that would be the farthest thing from my mind when I stand before you in your presence, feeling so undone and so trembling in your presence. And it is a wonderful, it's a wonderful and trembling thing. And it's so hard to explain, but yet it was this, Lord, you forgave me. You forgave me. You died on the cross and you took your blood from your side and you said, it's done. No more sin of Stephen. I'll take that and I'll cross that out. Now will you do the same? So for us to have forgiveness for each other so that we can grow in Christ, so we can move on with the Lord. There was a story I had heard. It's this like 2 or 3 hour testimony about this man that came. He was in the occult, and there was conferences over supposedly, from what he said, again, I take it at face value, in the Vatican, and they were saying, we want this region of Africa, but we can't because there is a pastor and some believers that have made a covenant to pray and fast for 80 days. And we can't touch that region. We want that region. And so they said, we need to go and infiltrate that church. We need to get in there and stop that. Because they've made a covenant that they were going to be praying. And they were praying 6 hours a day. They'd set aside that much time every day for this, I think it was 80 days. And so they had books on family history from the people that they had gathered volumes of in the lineage to see all the faults of all these people. And so they looked and they were trying to find something that they could get in to stop this prayer and fasting. And they finally found something after studying it out for a long time. And they said, there's someone in this prayer group that has bitterness. And we know that it was unforgiveness. And so they go in there and just come in and say, we would love to be a part of your prayer group. And this kept coming and coming and coming. And somehow was able to pit that one with unforgiveness against someone else. And in the middle of the prayer, there was shouting and yelling. And it broke it was 1 or 2 days before the end. And they broke that prayer meeting up. And it was so surprised me. I thought, well, it's going to be some secret sin where someone's out like drinking or smoking or all this and, you know, all the vile things of the world. And it was unforgiveness. Satan got a foothold in the church. And you could say, Brother Steve, you don't know if that story is true, but we do know that Satan can get a foothold in unforgiveness because now he has now he can inject something because we're saying there's something I just can't get over. I just can't move on. God will have to deal with me. Maybe time is the best thing I need to do. It's just get it, you know, later on, God knows. But to be able to say, no, he said, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Oh, praise God. Time is getting on. Musicians, if you could come. Let's just, I'll just finish the quote. I pray that this is dealing with your heart as it's dealing with mine. Forgiving, walking on as God would, till Christ be formed in you, the hope of glory. We must contend with the weak until they are fully matured in Christ Jesus. Then they're good soldiers. They've got on the full armor. Talk about them, don't hurt them. Laugh at them, make fun of them. They don't pay any attention to it. They got one thing. They're just so big. Can we, do we know what the song Touching Jesus is all that really matters? I don't know where that is in the songbook. They got one thing. They're just so big. My, just so full of the glory. The only thing you have to do to drop is this old, the only thing that you have to do is drop this old robe of flesh and just go right on to glory. Praise God. Amen. I hope that's a blessing tonight. I know we went a little bit long. You forgive me. Do we know what the number is for that one? 542. Praise God. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Let's just reach out, touch him. Oh, touching Jesus, all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Let's just bow our heads. If there's anyone here tonight that needs prayer, we just want to open it up for prayer. It's been on my heart the last couple services, and I just keep saying no. And I just want to give the invitation. Anyone that needs prayer, he's here. He's waiting. We need each other. This is that quote that went out on Signal this week. We need each other. We're a family. We're a body. Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord. We want to be hidden away in Christ, Lord. To be in your Shekinah glory, that we could dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life, seated in heavenly places with you. Lord, in your glory, you are revealing yourself to us, Lord. Realizing, Lord, that everything in us, Lord, falls off, Lord, but the Word. And that, Lord, we are the Word made flesh, Father, in this last day, O God. It's you, Lord. Please, Father, Lord, hover over your people tonight. Lord, it's a long day. Lord, we're tired, Father. I'm tired. Lord, we're fighting sickness. Lord, we're fighting thoughts. We're fighting so many things, Lord. We have to get up early tomorrow morning, Lord. There's the day, Lord, is coming to a close, Father. But we want to make sure that we touch you tonight, Lord, and have our need met, Lord. Please, Lord, work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, where we don't understand, Lord, to understand, Lord. Lord, we want to really believe, Lord, so that to believe everything, Lord, that you have for us, so, Lord, that we can just believe and open up the door and let all things that come from you come in, Lord. Take everything out, Lord. Everything would just have to leave. Please, Father. Please fill us with your overwhelming love, Father, that answers so many questions, Father. Your peace that passes all understanding, Lord, in this frightening age to others, Lord. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord coming, Lord. And it's a great day for us, Father, as your bride, Lord. Please, Lord, may we not go away empty-handed tonight, Lord. Please, Father, work on our hearts, Lord. May we take that power of decision that you've given us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to choose you, Lord, to choose to touch you tonight, Lord. And to let go of anything, Lord, that would take us away from growth in you, Lord. We don't want to be a hypocrite, Lord. We don't want to live a make-believe life where it's one thing in church and one thing out of church. Feels so good, though, to this flesh. And yet we know we don't want to be caught at that last moment, Lord, when we hear the trumpet of the Lord sound and it's a relief. Instead of a terror, I missed it. I thought I could wait a little longer. Lord, to think that we can be entering into the joy of the Lord forever one day, Lord, as we enter into it now daily. Please, Father, take us, Lord. We commit each one into your hands tonight, Lord. As each one goes, Lord, just may your dear presence, Lord, go with each one. Please, Father, soften our hearts to you, Lord, in this busy day, Father, that we're getting jerked this way and that, Father, tossed to and fro, Lord, running here and there, Father. Please settle us down. Make us still, Lord. To hear your call, Lord, to seek you while you may be found. Teach us, O God, thy ways, O Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Even to touch him. Sing it one more time. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. And there's only one way to touch him. Just believe and call on your name. Amen. Nate, would you just close us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the secret place that you have not only made a way, Lord, but you're drawing us there. And we just pray that you teach us day by day how to press in there.
Yes, Lord.
And help us, Lord, as we connect with you to just continue to cultivate that. For we know that all hell is against
yes, Lord.
Us getting in touch with you.
Yes, Lord.
Just pray that you'd quicken your word in each and every heart. You take those seeds that have been sown now, Lord, by your word.
Yes, Lord.
And that you'd make them live.
Yes, Father.
Thank you that your word is sure.
Yes, Lord.
And your power is capable and promised.
Yes, Lord.
And that we can simply fix our eyes on you and rest.
Yes, Lord God.
Bless each one, Lord, here tonight. Give them what they have need of.
Yes, Father.
And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love you all. God bless you. It's all.